I'm the vector-borne disease program coordinator.
I did a little thing the other day on our blog that said, I'm about to declare the West Nile virus is pretty insignificant until it starts to give us triple-digit numbers or triple-digit, double-digit fatalities or something.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the only thing that's out there that mosquitoes carry that people should be worried about during the summertime?
In Missouri, yes. I mean, there are some very, very uncommon arboviruses, similar to West Nile. They're, you know, carried by mosquitoes. One would be St. Louis encephalitis, and you know this part of the country is famous or was named after the St. Louis encephalitis virus. And then there are some that occur to the south of here, but it is fairly uncommon, yes.
I gather the diseases in Missouri then, that very few Missourians come down with mosquito-borne diseases during any particular summertime.
Right. According to our data, probably the most that we've seen in any year recently that would get your attention was, you know, the 30 cases last year.
Well, we've had quite a bit of moisture this year. Do you know if we've had any kind of a heavier than usual mosquito, crop would you say this year than any year in the past?
With these viruses that are carried by mosquitoes, it's kind of the opposite of what you would think. What happens is that droughty conditions and just getting a little bit of rain now and then actually sort of ends up producing better conditions for the virus to be transmitted. So this year has actually been kind of cool and kind of wet, and we're not really seeing a lot of activity for West Nile virus in Missouri. We've had one case, and that individual was from Laclede County, and then we also have had mosquitoes with the virus detected in St. Louis County and in Jefferson County, but those are the only counties in the state that are testing for the virus.
What happens during dry years that makes mosquitoes a bigger threat then than when we have nice, mild, wet summers?
Uh-huh. Well, I think this may be something that happened in Texas and Oklahoma in 2012. You may remember thousands of cases came out of that part of the country. And what happens is that in a drought, people are going to water, and normally water that's flowing is going to get backed up. It's going to get stagnant, and it's going to become ideal for breeding mosquitoes. So it gets mucky, and that's what mosquitoes like. And so then, when the mosquitoes are all gathered together, in a smaller habitat looking for water, and coincidentally then birds also are doing the same thing, and birds are where mosquitoes get the virus in the first place. So when all these creatures are coming together in droughty weather, that makes conditions for passing the virus to mosquitoes and then ultimately to human beings. That makes it kind of like you could say a good year for the virus.
Should people continue to use anti-mosquito spray when they're out in the woods or out around stagnant pools of water anyway, despite the low risk?
Well, I think a lot of people find mosquito bites just annoying, and I think that's a good enough reason. Some people have allergic reactions to mosquito bites. But yes, we would continue to urge people to use repellent, mosquito repellent, even in a year like this when, you know, so far we're not seeing a lot of activity.
Is there any of this? Is there any of this repellent that smells good?
Actually, there is. There is. The repellent manufacturers have become very savvy to what the consumer wants. There are now repellents that have a more dry feeling. And, you know, you're never going to get rid of that, you know, chemical-y smell. But there are, they've been adding better fragrances, or they've somehow managed to make the fragrances of the repellents not so noxious. And then, in addition, there are several products that will repel mosquitoes that are not DEET based, and those products are, there's a oil of lemon eucalyptus based formulas. There are there's formulas with picaridin. That's another effective mosquito ingredient, mosquito repellent ingredient. So yeah, people definitely should use repellent and avoid mosquito bites.
What attracts mosquitoes to somebody?
Well, everybody's different. I know everybody has heard about, you know, the person that is a mosquito magnet. And we don't really, you know, haven't really figured out in detail what kinds of, you know, what is a profile of a person that would be a mosquito, that would make a person a mosquito magnet. But on the other hand, we know that they are attracted to our breath. The carbon dioxide that we exhale, they're attracted to components in our sweat, and they also are able to sense the heat coming off of our bodies. And so, you know, that's how they make their living. So they're very attuned to finding hosts to get a blood meal from.
Well, let's move on to ticks. Ticks, okay. I guess, are probably an even more troublesome thing than mosquitoes are for many folks right now. Are ticks more dangerous than mosquitoes?
Oh, I don't know if you could call it more dangerous. I would say that in terms of the number of people who become ill in Missouri, the tick-borne diseases overshoot the mosquito-borne diseases by a long, long margin, a wide, wide margin. We have three really troublesome illnesses that can be carried by ticks in Missouri, and we almost every year see fatalities coming out of these illnesses. So yes, I would say people need to be very aware of ticks if they live in Missouri.
Can we run down those three illnesses? I know ehrlichiosis is the one that sticks in my mind the most often.
Yes, ehrlichiosis is probably, in Missouri, probably the most dangerous illness. And just what I like to try to tell people about ehrlichiosis is that it unfairly and disproportionately affects older people. And that's really important to know so that, you know, a person who's grown up receiving tick bites, you know, you get into that an older age group where maybe you have some other health problems, or maybe you're on some medications that might inhibit your immune system. Those people are the the folks who end up becoming really ill and are hospitalized and have slow recoveries. The next disease that I would be concerned about is Rocky Mountain spotted fever. Again, it's very similar to ehrlichiosis. The concern there is that people become ill and they maybe wait a while before they go see a physician, and by the time they go to see a physician, they're very seriously ill. And then tularemia is the third. And tularemia, fortunately, often has such characteristic signs. If it did come from a tick bite, often the wound, you know, that from the tick bite will fester and not heal up, and that's a good sign that that ought to be looked at by a physician.
And what happens if you don't get tularemia looked at?
Oh, well, we see fatalities with tularemia periodically. We had one individual in southern Missouri a few years ago who just, I guess, put off going to the doctor. And, by the time they get there to any medical care, the bacteria has more or less invaded, the organs and more or less just gives the person an infection that it's too late to control.
Well, let's go back again to the weather, like we talked about with the mosquitoes. Is the kind of weather we've been having this summer better for ticks, worse for ticks? Or does it matter when it comes to these guys?
Yeah, I think that the weather is a big factor. If we have if summer comes on really quickly and it gets hot and dry, the ticks retreat and they're back in the woods waiting until, they can come out again. So weather is a big factor, but I think the availability of hosts, the hosts that are actually carrying these different pathogens. When there are plenty of hosts, there will be plenty of ticks. And so I've seen studies in more eastern states, not here in Missouri, but in more eastern states that showed there was a relationship between the acorn crop in the fall and the tick population size in the coming summer. And that's just that, when you have squirrels and raccoons and possums and so on, and if there's plenty of food for wildlife, then there's plenty of food for ticks.
Is there any kind of inoculation that a person can get against these diseases?
No, unfortunately there isn't. People need to be really careful and to use insect repellent, and then to understand that you may be in a situation where you don't have your repellent or the repellent has worn off, and to do tick checks then to get the ticks off as soon as possible, because the longer the tick is on, the longer it's attached, the higher the likelihood that if it is carrying one of these germs, that it will then be able to transmit that germ into a person.
So I guess there's an appropriate way to dress if you're going to be outdoors in areas where you think there might be a lot of ticks. I think I've read some of that in the past. And not only that, but you dress appropriately and you spray appropriately. Is that correct?
That's right. Absolutely. You can spray with a DEET-based repellent. You can spray your clothes and, exposed skin. And those repellents are pretty effective. It's hard to get a good you know, a hard and fast rule that says when you need to reapply, but you just need to be aware that you're in tick habitat and check yourself once in a while. And if you see that the repellent maybe does not seem to be working, then it could be time to reapply.
Now, I think people have been told if they're going to be out in these situations, the best thing to do is wear long sleeves, tuck their pants into their socks, pants legs into their socks and stuff like that, and then also to spray around those areas. But is long sleeves and tucking pants legs into socks a way to keep from getting hit by a tick?
I think the way you dress can help. I think that, you know, we have to be practical and realize that, you know, when the weather is warm, you may not want to wear socks, or you may not want to tuck your socks into tuck your jeans into your socks. I think those kinds of practices are really helpful in the early spring when the weather is maybe not so warm. But you know, when you start getting into June and July, it could be a little hot to do that. And so again, you know, use prevention to get to keep the tick from actually getting on you, but then to assume that, you know, whatever method that you're using may not be 100% foolproof, and to do tick checks when you get back home.
Best way to get a tick off of you. Some people I've seen, not so much anymore since people don't smoke, but I was told that if you took a burning cigarette and touched a tick with it, that would get them off of you pretty quickly, or some other things. What's the best way, if one of these things gets on you and gets its nose stuck in you, to get them off?
Really, the best way to get a tick off is to pull it off. We like to recommend that people have a tool handy, some very narrow at the tip tweezers, to get in where the tick has attached to the skin, get in right there with those narrow tweezers, and get the tick's head in the tweezers, and then to pull gently in the hopes that you know, over pulling just very gently, you can get the tick to release. However, you know, a pair of fingers will pull out ticks if tweezers aren't available. The key is to get them off as quickly as possible.
Is there something about what they carry or what they have in them or how they draw the blood out that spreads the problems?
What happens when a tick bites is that it first tries to prevent the host from recognizing that it's there. So the first thing that it does is it injects all kinds of chemicals, basically tick chemicals, that fool the body into not realizing that it's there. I'm sorry,
yeah.
Bob. I dropped the question.
Yeah, it's how, you know, what is there something poisonous about what they inject when they attach themselves that causes the problem?
Oh, okay. So early on in that process, they may not actually be injecting the bacteria, but as they move on and start pulling blood from the host, what happens is that it's almost like a two-way feeding tube. So there is some mixing between what is inside the tick and what's inside the host, and that is the point where people become infected. So oftentimes, you know, if a tick hasn't fully attached, or if it just became attached, the risk of disease transmission goes down. It's that, you know, you've had a tick on you for maybe 24 hours, where, you know, that becomes a concern.